In the last part of the book of Ezekiel, God is showing the prophet Ezekiel what is to come. And the first part of Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel's with a man. He has a line in his hand. So we might call it a tape measure, because he's measuring a distance. They're at the temple. They're at the gate that points toward the east. The gate that Jesus is going to enter when he comes back. There's nobody going to go through that gate until he goes through that gate when he comes back. And they go out the northern gate, Ezekiel and this man, and they come around to the eastern gate, and there's water trickling out underneath the door. And the man takes the measuring line and measures 1,000 cubits. Now, a cubit is the distance between the tip of your fingers to your elbow. Depending on the length of your arm, it averages anywhere between 15 and 20 inches, but they use an average of about 18 inches. And so, for example, when God gave Noah the dimensions of the ark, he gave it to him in cubits. And so you go back and read that, you can just do the math. A cubit is about 18 inches. And so 1,000 cubits is about 1,500 feet, so we'll just make it easy. We'll call it about 1/3 of a mile. And so this man measures 1,000 cubits, and he brings Ezekiel into the water, and Ezekiel says, the water was up to my ankles. Then this man measures another 1,000 cubits, and he brings Ezekiel into the water, and it's up to his knees. Then this man measures another 1,000 cubits, and he brings Ezekiel into the water, and the water is up to his loins, up to his thighs, up to about his waist. And then, as we read, he measures another 1,000 cubits, and he brings Ezekiel into the water, and Ezekiel said, the water was over my head. It was a river that you could swim in, a river that couldn't be crossed by walking across it with your feet on the bottom. You couldn't do it because it was so deep. Now, I want to take this account that's here, and I want to make several spiritual applications from it tonight. So here we go. Number one, a good place to get the blessing of God, a good place to grow as a Christian is in the church. In the church. Ezekiel started at the temple, doors toward the east. Again, the door that Christ will enter, and it'll be closed until he comes back. The water represents the blessing of God. And that water started at the temple. Now look, I know tonight that God can bless us anywhere. I know that we can study the Bible anywhere and be blessed by God. I know that we can pray anywhere and be blessed by God. I know that we can grow as a Christian anywhere, that God can use experiences from all parts of our life to help us grow, to become more like Jesus. But a big part of the blessings in the Christian life, a big part of the growth in the Christian life comes when we become part of a church. Comes when we affiliate with a church, when we join a church, when we become part of a church. And so that's why it's so important that we get these little babies, and we've had several born in our midst lately. And I'm so proud of the parents that have brought their little babies as soon as they can and get them in church. When they turn into little children, we need to make sure that mom and dad don't quit and keep those little children in church. It's important when they go into grade school, from first grade through the sixth grade, that we keep them in church. It's important when they go into junior high that we keep those young people in church. When they go into high school, that they stay in church. And when they graduate from high school and become young adults, that they stay in church. That we have people in their middle years that stay in church. Senior citizens that stay in church. There's no age in your life, there's no period in your life that you don't need to be in a gospel preaching, Bible believing church. And I'm so glad that God has given us a range of ages in our church, from the little bitty babies to the senior saints that are in our church. And so, and I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, but I want to encourage you tonight, make your church an integral part of your life. Build your life around the church. Build your life around the assembly that God has called out together. Yeah, we can study the Bible on our own, and we ought to study the Bible on our own. You ought to have it in your schedule every day to read the Word of God. You ought to have in your schedule every day to study the Word of God. You ought to have in your schedule every day a time of prayer. You ought to have in your schedule every day a time of communing with God and listening as God speaks through His Word and speaking to God in prayer. We can do that on our own, and we can grow on our own, and God can bless us on our own. All that is true. But He blesses us in a special way when we come together and meet together. And there are things that you will get in this place. And again, I'm not specifically talking about our church. I'm talking about churches that do believe the Bible, that do preach the gospel. But there are things that you will get in a church that you will not get anywhere else. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I got news for you tonight, folks. The day is approaching. And again, we can read the Bible on our own, and we can pray on our own, and we can commune with God on our own, but there ain't nobody going to provoke you when you're by yourself. There ain't, and I shouldn't use the word ain't. I'm sorry to our visitors, but sometimes I just get carried away, and I don't care about English. I just care about the truth. You ain't going to get provoked by yourself. You ain't going to get exhorted by yourself. You ain't going to get stirred up by yourself. That's going to happen when you come together in this place and you interact with other people and you see their testimony. You see how they're living their life. That's what's going to provoke you. That's what's going to stir you up. That's what's going to keep you going without wavering. You're not going to get that anywhere else except as a part of a church. So a church is a good place to get the blessings of God and to grow in the Christian life. Number two, the only way to get more blessings, the only way to keep growing is to keep moving. Keep moving. Ezekiel's journey through the water can represent Christian growth. It represents God's blessing on a Christian life, but it also represents our growth. He kept moving. The water got deeper. He got into his ankles. He got into his knees. He got into his loins. He got in over his head. Every time he moved up 1,000 cubits, the water got deeper. And the water got deeper only as he kept moving eastward. That's the only way. That's how the water got deeper. When he took that first 1,000 cubit journey, the water felt good on his feet. But from his ankles up, it did nothing for him. When he took that second 1,000-foot cubit, it felt good from his knees down. But from knees up, it didn't affect him at all. When he took that third 1,000-cubit journey, it felt good from his loins down. But from his loins up, he was still dry. And when he took that last 1,000-cubit journey and he got all the way in, boy, that's when he was totally affected with the blessing of God. The only way to keep the blessings of God coming and the only way to keep growing in our Christian life is to keep moving and to keep moving forward. Not standing still, not moving backwards. I mean, if you stand still, the blessings are going to get stagnant. If you start moving backwards, it's worse than stagnant. And so what this passage is saying to us, you want God's continued blessing on your life? You want to continue to grow as a Christian? Then you keep moving forward. You say like the Apostle Paul, I forget those things which are behind. I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we do that by moving forward. We sang that song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Keep moving, keep moving. The church is a good place to get the blessing of God and to get and to grow. And the only way to keep growing and to get more blessings is to keep moving. Number three, the first thousand cubits gets us in up to our ankles. Our feet are covered. And that I'm going to let that represent tonight. Our feet covered in that water, the blessings of God. I'm going to let that, our feet covered, represent growing so that we go and tell people about Jesus. After we get saved, the first thing that God wants us to do, the first thing that will bring a blessing, the first thing that will enter, that will lead to growth, and it's a thing that needs to continue our whole Christian life, is go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell somebody what Jesus did for you. Go tell somebody how you were saved. I've had people say, I can't be a witness for Christ because I don't know the Romans road and I don't know how to do it. And I always ask them, well, how did you get saved? Tell me, how did you get saved? And they tell me in their own words, well, I realized I was lost. I realized that my sin had a penalty, that God had put a penalty on my sin, and that penalty was to be separated from Him. I realized that there was nothing I could do to take care of that sin, to pay for that sin, except to pay for it by my separation from God. And somebody told me about Jesus, that when He went to the cross, God laid on Him all my sin. And somebody told me that He loved me, that He did that for me. And somebody told me that if I'd ask Him, He would save me from the penalty of my sin, make me a child of God, and give me a home in heaven. And I tell them, go tell somebody that. Yeah, it's nice to learn the verses of the Romans Road. It's nice to have Scripture, but it's not a requirement. If you know how you got saved, and by the way, if you don't know how you got saved, you need to come tonight and know how you got saved. But if you know how to got, if you know how you got saved, you know how to tell somebody else how to get saved. Just tell them what happened to you. In the book of Matthew, the last verse, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The woman at Sychar's well, when she took a drink of that living water that Jesus offered to her, the first thing that she did, she went back to town, she went back to her friends, she went back to the people that she hung with, she went to her neighbors, and she says, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Now, that was a little bit of an exaggeration. Jesus didn't tell her everything that she ever did, but she knew that she had met God. And she knew when she took when Jesus told her, hey, you drink of this well water and you're going to thirst again, but if you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. And she said, Lord, give me that water. Of course, she was expecting physical water. And Jesus said, well, go call your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right. You've had five and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And she knew that Jesus was God, and she took a drink of that living water that He offered her. And she went back to town and wanted to tell everybody in every place in that town, hey, come see this man that gave me a drink of living water. He'll give you one too. Amen. And the Bible says that they came at her invitation and they believed. And they told her, now we believe not because just what you said, but we believe because we've heard Him ourselves. You may not, when you go to tell somebody else about Christ, you might not lead them to the Lord, but you're planting a seed. Get them to come to Jesus. And it may take others. It may take others to get them to that point where they realize they're a sinner. And it may take others to get them to that point where they ask Jesus to be their Savior. But you start. You start. You start.
I shared my testimony again this morning. I got saved. My dad was working. My grandma, the one that pointed her old bony finger in my face and told me every time I saw her that I was going to hell if I didn't get saved. They weren't at the revival service when I got saved. And so I went home that night. I called my dad first. I called my grandma. I called my other grandma. I made 15 phone calls that night to different, not only different members of my family, but others that I know had been praying for me, because the desire that God gives us when we first get saved is to tell somebody else about what we found, because we want them to have it too. I mentioned, and I'm working on a sermon that Brother Clyde Tuttle inspired at our men's breakfast a couple months ago about the church at Ephesus, that the angel said to him, "Don't lose." He says, "I have something to get against you." They were a good church. They were doing a lot of good things. But the angel said to him, "You've lost your first love. You've lost your first love." You remember when you first got saved? What is it? What is the thing that you wanted to do more than anything else? What was it? Was it to tell somebody? Was it to share the gospel? That's your first love. Your first love. And so this lady went back and she said, "Hey, come see this one that told me everything. He gave me a drink of living water. He'll do the same thing for you." Romans 10:15. Every time Brother Leo comes, he's not here tonight probably because of the weather. But he tells me, he says, "You got beautiful feet, preacher." And he's talking about Romans 10:15. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. In verse 15 it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." In the upper room at the Last Supper, Jesus stripped himself and put on a towel and took a basin of water. He washed the disciples' feet. I think he was telling them, "I want you to go preach what I've preached. I want you to go teach what I've taught. I want you to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So that first 1,000 cubits gets us up to our ankles. It represents going to tell people about Jesus. I say tonight, come on in, the water's fine. Come on in, the water's fine. The second 1,000 cubits gets us up to our knees. I'm going to let that tonight represent that in order to grow, to keep growing. And again, if we're going to keep growing, we need to keep telling people about Jesus. If we're going to keep getting the blessings of God, we need to keep telling people about Jesus. But as we move forward 1,000 cubits and we get in the water up to our knees, I'm going to let that represent becoming people of prayer. Becoming people of prayer. We won't keep growing. We won't keep getting the blessings of God until we go the second 1,000 cubits and know that God hears and answers prayer. Not because the preacher says it. Not because the Sunday school teacher says it. Not because your mom and dad tell you that. Not because your grandpa and grandma tell you that. But until you know firsthand from personal experience that God hears and answers prayer. You ask for something and God answers. It may not be what you ask for. It may not be in the timing that you want it, but God will answer if we call. I called JER333 this morning. Some of you didn't get it. Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." When trouble comes into our life, the first place we ought to go is down on our knees. When trials come into our life, when sickness comes into our life, the first place we ought to go is down on our knees. There was a story in the Bible about a king that got sick, and he went to the doctor. He never did go to God, but he went to the doctor, and the Bible says that he died. And look, I'm for doctors, I'm for medicines, I'm for operations, but more than any of those, I'm for the God behind them all. Amen. God uses doctors, and God uses nurses, and God uses medicines, and God uses operations, but I believe that all healing comes from the great physician. So again, as we take this second 1,000-foot journey and we move from having our ankles up, water up to our ankles, to water up to our knees, I say again, come on in, the water's fine. Come on in, the water's fine. The third 1,000 cubits gets us up to our loins. Loins in the Bible represent strength. Strength comes from our loins, our legs, our thighs. And usually when we get tired, the first thing that gives out is our loins. God tells us throughout his word to gird up your loins and be strong. In Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. The way to grow and the way to keep God's blessings coming is to start at church, keep moving forward, tell people about Jesus, know that God answers prayer, and get to a point in your life that you have the God-given strength to stand for truth. It's what the world needs today. The world doesn't need preachers and churches that mollycoddle their members. You know, it's always amazing to me. I started to wear my black suit this morning. People always used to tease me when I wore my black suit. They know they were getting a hellfire and damnation message. And I started to wear my black suit. And I always worry when I preach a message like I did this morning. Already condemned. Already condemned. I worry about what people are going to say. I must have had 20 people come out this morning and say, "Preacher, what a powerful message." You see, I'm glad that we got a church where people love to hear the truth, love to hear about sin, love to hear about the penalty of sin, and love to hear about the remedy for sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get to the point where we stand for God. We need to get to the point where we will not be moved. We need to get to the point that we will stand for truth regardless of the cost, regardless of what our friends or family may say, regardless of what the world may say. We need to get to the point in our life where our loins are strong and we stand for truth. I was helping my sister-in-law do a shower for her granddaughter, and they were decorating on Friday. And there were a couple of their great-grandkids here, Erica and Mike's little boys. And they said, "Preacher, let's go play." I said, "Okay, I can take a break and we'll go play." And I got a couple balls out of the room. And they said, "Well, let's just kick the balls." I said, "Okay, I should be able to kick the balls." And so we were kicking the balls. And we kicked the balls for about 15 minutes. When I got home, I could hardly stand up. And the problem was my loins, they're still sore. That's why I'm not moving much tonight, because if I move, I might fall down, because I don't have strength in my loins. And I may not have strength in my physical loins, but I want to have strength in my spiritual loins. I want to stand for God. Now, the last 1,000 cubits gets us in over our head. That represents being completely sold out to God. He has all of us. We've surrendered all of our life, which, by the way, the book of Romans says is only reasonable. It's only reasonable that we give him everything. But in this water that's over our head, we have to depend on him. We can't get footing on the bottom of the river, on the of the bottom of this river, because it's too deep. We have to depend on Him. And the way to keep growing and the way to keep the blessings coming is to start at the temple, to keep moving forward, to get into the water up to our ankles and tell somebody about Jesus. Then keep moving and get in the water up to our knees and know that God answers prayer. And then to keep moving and get in the water up to our loins, where we strengthen our loins and we stand for truth. And then keep moving and get in the water over our head and give everything to God and depend on Him. That's where we need to get. You see, that's the only place that we're completely out of the picture. If I'm only in the water up to my ankles, you can still see me from my ankles up. If I'm only in the water up to my knees, you can see me from my knees up. If I'm only in the water up to my loins, you can see me from my loins up. But when I get in the water over my head, you can't see me anymore. You see Jesus. You see Jesus. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." That's what I want to do. I want to get in over my head so people can't see me, and they got to put their eyes on the Savior. Amen. I'm a nobody. He's an everybody. And everybody needs to see Him. And when I get completely under, when I have to depend on Him, when I have to give myself completely to Him, then the world can see Him. Can see Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's what the world needs tonight. They don't need to see us. They need to see our Savior. Amen. And so I say again tonight, come on in. Come on in. The water's fine. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You that when we were sinners, You loved us. You sent Your Son to die in our place. Thank You for somebody telling us about Jesus. Thank You for taking us when we came. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank You for all the good blessings that You brought into our life. As some testified tonight, not just the good things, but the things that we wouldn't consider good, all the things that You brought in our life, because You've worked them together for our good. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, that they would see their sin. They would see how that sin separates them from their Creator. And they would see that there's nothing that they can do to on their own to pay for that sin. But they don't have to. Help them to see what Jesus did for them on Calvary. Help them to see the price that He paid for their sin so that God could offer to them the gift of life. And Father, again, if there's just one here tonight that's never received Christ, I pray in just a moment, Holy Spirit, You would help them to come, and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. We're probably all in different depths of water in our Christian growth. I pray, Father, that You'd help us to keep moving forward, that we get in deeper and deeper and deeper until we come to that point that we can't stand anymore. We can't get our footing on the bottom anymore. It's over our head, and we have to depend on You. We have to look to You. We have to lean on You. Help us to keep moving forward. Help us to hide ourselves underneath the water of Your blessing so that the world can see our Savior. I pray that You bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to do what You tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.